Today's program has been brought to you by Clarkson Potter Publishers, the only dedicated lifestyle group within Random House. Potter invites readers to live well. We seek tastemakers, visionaries, and rising stars and partner them to craft books and products that define their brand while engaging, entertaining, and instructing their audience.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, and welcome to After the Jump. I'm your host, Grace Bonney, and today I'm coming to you live from Brooklyn, New York. Normally, I record this show live from Roberta's in Bushwick, but as most of you are aware, Brooklyn and most of the tri-state area was hit pretty hard by Hurricane Sandy last week. Without subway service, we can't get guests to and from the radio station, so today I'm coming to you live from my living room in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. Before I get started with today's show, I wanted to take a moment to pass along two links for anyone interested in helping with Hurricane Sandy relief efforts. You can find important information on donating time, money, and goods at both redcross.org/Hurricane Sandy and interoccupy.net/Occupy Sandy. So many people are still struggling to get power and put their lives back together, so if you're able to, please take a moment and check out either site to see if there's a way for you to help. So let's get back to today's regular show. Last week, I went through a pretty major work epiphany that led me to beginning the search for a new editor at my website to take over what has, for the past 8 years, been the section of the site that I've run exclusively, which is product design. It's something that I really struggled with, but as soon as I made and announced the decision, I immediately felt this huge sense of relief. And it really got me thinking about other lessons that I've learned while running my business and how they could possibly help others just starting out or those in my position who are still working on staying inspired, excited, and energized about their own business. So today I'm going to be doing a solo show where I'm sharing the 10 biggest lessons I've learned, as well as my top 5 mistakes and the top 5 things that I'm proudest of. I hope this show will be helpful to anyone listening, whether you're just starting to pursue a new dream or you're working to find ways to make your existing business feel exciting and new again. So let's start with number one, lead with passion. Every single business starts for a reason. You need to know what yours is, and you need to remember that reason, write it down, document it, and don't lose sight of it. As you grow, it's going to become easier to slip and lead with things like audience demands or team requests and financial desires. All of those things need to be considered, but I think the most important thing to keep in mind is that your audience, whether you're writing a blog or running a business, all of those people come to you for a reason, and that's the initial identity that you put out there, and that tends to be the one that's most true to who you are. So remember not to lose that entirely. If you're leading with the things that you're most interested in and that you're the most passionate about, your voice is going to come across really clearly and really strongly. All of the times I've regretted any decision that I've made, I can trace that back to making a decision based on something other than what I'm passionate about or excited about. So don't do that. The times I've led with passion and with excitement have led to the things that I've loved the most. The Design Sponge Biz Ladies column, the yearly student scholarship that I host, all of the posts that I've ever gotten, the largest amounts of comments, and even hiring my first full-time employee. Those were all decisions that I'm really proud of, and they're the things that started entirely with me being passionate about something or excited to try something new. The second biggest lesson I've learned is to trust my gut. And if I had to make a list of just one thing, this would be numbers 1 through 10. Basically, different people are going to have different goals for you and your business. And the biggest thing that I've learned is that you are the only person who is going to be looking out for you and your business interests 24/7. So listen to your gut. And when in doubt, wait until you're completely sure about a decision. The important thing to remember is that your gut is tied to who you are and your core beliefs. Those are the things that set you and your business apart from other people. And the more that you start to be swayed by other people's opinions, the more watered down your brand becomes. One great example of this is Ina Garten, who is otherwise known as the Barefoot Contessa, a.k.a. the biggest idol in my life. Ina Garten is an incredible businesswoman as well as just an interesting human being. I went to go see her speak at a House and Garden Q&A session years ago, and I was completely floored to see that when I asked her a question about how she maintains quality control over the years and as her brand has expanded, her answer was that she always trusts her gut and she makes all of the important decisions herself. I was blown away because I don't know how it's possible to still maintain control over everything you do when your brand is that large, But she really insisted, and I believe, that she's the last person who makes the call on everything from the fonts on her book to the decisions about how she expands her brand. She always trusts her gut, and I think that's why her brand is still so strong to this day. Lesson number three is to take the time. It's really difficult. This one, I think, is tricky for people because the most important thing to do is to choose what's right, not what's right now. And that can be really hard and really tempting as your business grows, no matter what size it is, because if you're doing your job right, opportunities keep coming your way. You're going to start hearing from people, no matter what type of business you run, who want you to do different things. And people can think that, oh, well, this is where your business is. It's just the next likely step to make is to do this type of project. But if it doesn't feel right, it's not going to be the right one for your brand. And I think an important thing to remember is that sometimes one small decision can affect a lifetime of work. And that's not always the case, but it can really be true if you're making a large decision about your brand. One of the things I've run into running Design Sponge is that there seems to be a certain, there's a path that people take. If you're a writer or if you're a business owner, you put out a product, you achieve a certain amount of success, and then you're expected to do something, whether it's write a book or have a TV show or produce a certain product line for a certain company because it seems like the right thing to do. But if that's not right for you and you've got a voice in your head or some sort of feeling that feels like it's not quite right, you need to just back off and wait until you feel entirely sure. There's nothing wrong with taking your time and really, really easing into the decisions that you make with your business, because as you go forward, if you're doing things well, those opportunities are going to come more frequently, and they're going to start to come from people who really appreciate what you do and know what they're doing. So when in doubt, take your time and just make the decisions based on what feels right to you. The biggest lesson I've learned that's next is learning to delegate. And I will be totally honest, this is the hardest thing to do, but it's really, really important because no matter what stage your business is in, burnout is just inevitable. And the only way to really help and manage that as you go forward is to plan ahead and put the work in up front. I've always thought that training, when you have to train someone new, is valuable for both you as a teacher and for the person who's learning as a student. It's a chance to revisit your goals and your core values and to adjust them if you discover problems or things that could be improved upon. When I first started Design Sponge, one of the first big delegating tasks I gave myself was to hire a new set of editors. It both allowed me to expand my content and offer something different than what I thought was better to my readers. But one of the unexpected sort of side effects was that it became really fulfilling to watch an audience fall in love with people that I had already admired. And I think that's something important to remember. It can be scary to let somebody else take control of even the smallest section of your business. But watching those people do something well, getting the knowledge that you've taught them that, and then watching your audience really embrace and, you know, get to love these people that you trust is a huge part of watching your brand grow. An example of how this can kind of backfire is I refuse to let anybody answer the emails at Design Sponge. For years and years and years, I had been answering the hundreds of them that would pour in every day, and I felt really strongly about not having somebody else's voice be the one that people heard back from, and especially having it not be a bounce-back email. So it took me, I think, 7 years to hire somebody to really sort of manage the email, at least the submission emails that we were receiving. And it was really difficult, but it gave me a chance to sit down and say, what are the core beliefs I have that are related to the response we give back to people who take the time to write us an email? And it really gave me a chance to look at the way I think we should talk to people, the way we should honor responses, the speed with which we get back to people, and how we handle negative criticism. And taking time to sort of sit down and crystallize those responses and the way we deal with feedback was really valuable for the overall running of the business. It really gave me sort of a core list of do's and don'ts that I could pass along to everybody on the team. And that came from just a very simple delegating job. So when in doubt, really learn to delegate. It's going to help you grow and clear your brain to work on bigger projects. The next thing to remember is breaking rules. Now, this is something I wanted to end with before the break because I think that this is something that people are terrified of. And I'll be honest, I'm pretty scared of it too. And if there's anything that I have a chip on my shoulder about when it comes to the business, it's rule breaking. When I was younger, I felt really safe sort of playing inside the rules and inside of a box. And as I've gotten older, I feel like the safest place to be is actually outside of the box, blazing your own path. I can't tell you how many times I have been told to do something in a certain order, and then when I've done it, it actually would have ended up costing my business money or time or even lost trust with an audience. So sometimes breaking a rule means that you're actually rewriting them to be more inclusive or realistic or innovative. When I started the Design Sponge Biz Lady series, it was a completely bootstrap enterprise, and all I wanted to do was help people. And not having a business background and not really having profit in mind, I decided the easiest way to do was just to be set out on my own, to find a way to fund it, or just make it kind of a potluck effort. I would stay on people's couches. I wasn't looking to sort of make any money off of it. But as soon as I started telling people what I was hoping to do, I was shocked at the pushback and people saying that it would actually be really bad for my business if I did this on my own and I didn't do it with a sponsor, because it would look as if I couldn't get a sponsor, or that perhaps my business wasn't very big and I was still doing things really grassroots. And I sat down and I thought about it, and I thought, are they right? These are people who've been running a business longer than I have, or maybe they have more readers or more press, and should I be listening to this advice? But I thought about it, and I thought, well, maybe this is the thing that sets me apart. Maybe the fact that I kind of run with these things on my own and think about the people first and profit later is actually a positive thing. So I set out, and I found that really kind of breaking outside the rules of what people did back then to get events off of the ground actually ended up being the most valuable thing. It gave me a chance to interact with readers face-to-face. I got to build relationships with both the people who hosted me for the event, the people who came to the event, and the people who had us as a host for the actual meetups. And those relationships are relationships that I still value and use to this day. And if I had had somebody step in and cover the cost of everything, as much as that would have been easier on my own pocketbook, it really would have prevented me from sort of building this one-on-one FaceTime with both the people in attendance and the people who helped us organize everything. I think another great example of rule breaking, especially when you're kind of already established and moving along with your business, is the recent editorial decision made by Joy Cho, who runs the popular blog Oh Joy. She recently had a baby, and when she got back to work, decided that after spending a couple years building up a great editorial team of writers, she felt the best decision was to actually let all of her writers go and sort of pull back on how many times she was going to post a day and the types of posts she was going to be doing. She was going to pull back and just sort of write from the heart about the things that were interesting to her now. And I think it was pretty much universally met with people applauding it and saying it was a great decision. And I felt this huge pang of both joy and also this deep sense of jealousy, because I really admired that decision, because as wonderful as it is from the outside to seem like, you know, you're running a team of people and things must be so great and exciting, it's a lot of work to run a team of people. And if you started a blog, managing a team is not always the thing you had in mind that you wanted to do the most. So when I've looked at sort of the sense of joy, or that joy has gotten out of her editorial decision, I thought how smart it was for her sort of ignore the what seems like a natural progression of blogs, which is to grow and hire more people and do all of these big projects that I think other people have done. I thought it was brilliant of Joy to really kind of reverse things, go back to basics, and focus on the voice of what really made her famous, which was her own. So I think decisions like that could often be the best one, and that's why I think it's great to remember that there's never any one path to success. There are so many different examples of people breaking rules, forging their own paths, and doing things completely differently. And if you look at all of those, they can be a great source of inspiration. I think sometimes people are stressed out if they think there isn't one, you know, surefire path to success. It's actually great to know that there are 20 different paths to it, or if not 200 of them. Because if you really sort of listen to your gut and listen to your heart, you're going to know exactly what's right for your business. I'm going to take a quick break, and when I come back, I'm going to share my last 5 tips, and then the biggest 5 mistakes that I've made and the things that I'm proudest of and what you can learn from them.
Today's featured book is American Beauty by Tom Felicia. Star designer Tom Felicia wasn't looking for another escape from his busy city life. But when visiting beautiful Skaneateles Lake in New York, where he had vacationed as a child, he fell madly in love with a fixer-upper. 2 years and one careful, respectful, and impassioned renovation later, it has become the house of his dreams, one that profoundly speaks to his happy memories of lazy days spent on the lake or in the small town as a child. Part memoir, part decorating book, American Beauty is the story of this house, and an inspirational resource that imparts Tom's extensive wisdom on creating rooms that feel modern, yet meaningful and classic. American Beauty is $45 and available wherever books are sold.
Hey, welcome back to After the Jump. I'm your host, Grace Bonney, and today I'm doing a solo show about the top 10 lessons that I've learned from running my business. Before the break, we were talking about the first 5 lessons, which were leading with passion, trusting your gut, taking your time when making business decisions, learning to delegate, and the importance of breaking rules. Number six, is to embrace mistakes as chances to clarify goals. This is something that, believe me, I have done a ton of. If there is one thing I've done a lot at Design Sponge, it is make mistakes. I didn't start my blog with the goal of being a business owner or boss, so I'm pretty sure that if I've done anything right over the years, it's due entirely to doing the wrong thing first. Nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes, little ones and big ones. You just don't always hear about them. We live in an internet society where people's best foot and their best appearance is always put forward, which is both good and bad. So I think it's important to remember that even the most successful people and businesses are screwing up every now and then, and it's not the end of the world. The biggest lesson that I've learned about this topic is that most of the time, one mistake doesn't cost you your business. Readers can forgive, readers can forget, they can move on, and you can too. And it's really important to not beat yourself up over one decision. You can learn from it, you can apologize if necessary, and the great thing is that you can always grow from that. I am always making examples, and whether it comes to running my team or things that I've written about or learning to sort of adjust to things that I always thought were right but maybe I've learned are not always great for everybody reading or consuming what I produce, those sorts of learning experiences are really valuable. Not only do they show that you're a flexible human being, you're a flexible business owner, and that you can grow and change with times, but it also shows that you're paying attention to what people are saying. You don't always have to change exactly based on what people want from you, but it's really important to sort of listen to what people want, what they think maybe are weak points of your business and what could be changed, and really take them in and see if there's something you can learn from. I really think that mistakes are a wonderful thing because they really, really help you take a time out, look at the business, and say, has this grown to a way where this isn't manageable anymore? Is this something I've been overlooking or something I've sort of been putting on the back burner that really needs to be addressed? Never take the mistakes personally. Look at them as if it was a third party and really try to use them as a chance to grow and change. Lesson number 7 is one that, I'll be honest, is really hard to talk about publicly, but it's something that I struggle with all the time, and that is finding out how to be your own version of what a boss is and then really owning that. Whether you're your own boss or you run a small team of people, I think the biggest challenge of being a business owner is learning to be a boss. My biggest insecurity, hands down, is in this area, and it's something that I struggle with really up to this moment. I didn't get into my blog to be a boss, so it's something I really find myself kind of fighting against and resisting on a regular basis. That said, I've learned that the more that I fight it and I resist it, the more it negatively impacts my team. But the more that I step up and I start making hard choices, the ones that feel uncomfortable and a little icky, the more at ease my team seems to feel and the more that they feel that they're trusted and respected and have a really consistent set of rules and guidelines to follow. Just like the last session of making mistakes, this is an area in which I've made a mistake after mistake after mistake. And I think the distinct pleasure of, you know, I have of being able to work with my friends and create job experiences where the people I work with become my friends means that it's kind of a tricky setup when it comes to managing a team. So if being a boss is something you've ever struggled with, I think one of the best ways to get around this issue is to formalize things. For me, that means contracts. I've always learned that it's really better to talk about details and sort of the nitty-gritty part of a working relationship earlier than to let it sort of build up to longer-term resentments or to a point where things are irreversible. Do I always do this perfectly? Absolutely not. But it's better to really salvage a friendship or a working relationship up front than to end on a bad foot. So I think for me, when it comes to finding out what your own version of being a boss is, the most important thing to do is accept that everybody has a very different boss style. And the goal should really be to try to find out what your version is and how to be the best version of it. I think we've all had bosses now and then that we didn't enjoy working for, and I think the greatest thing to remember is what out of that working experience didn't work for you? How can you learn from that and take that into your own business? I feel like I knew all of the things I didn't want to be when I started my business, but I didn't have a lot of examples of what I did want to be. And so naturally, I've done all of the wrong things first to figure out the right things. But I think the more you can accept that it's okay to be your own version of a team leader, as long as your team feels trusted and respected and they understand what they're supposed to be doing, that's the most important goal of being your own boss. Step number 8 for me is to pave your own path. I think if you've got a platform, you need to take a stand for something. And why not have it be exactly who you are and what you believe in? I think a lot of times when they've built a business that's successful, they're scared to take risks after a certain point. And I have this problem all the time. When you build something that's functioning, it kind of becomes a machine, which can be a good thing and can be a bad thing. And the bigger it becomes, the more people are relying on that machine to support them or to be available every day. And so it can be scary to take that risk to sort of choose to move out in your own direction, especially if that's not the direction in which your industry or your niche is moving. But I think it's the most important thing to remember. And a good example of this is I've always been really concerned about the fact that I think some of the groups that I work with think that I could be a little bit difficult to work with. And I think that's because I really learned to say no to a lot of things and try to move in the direction that feels right for me, even if people are saying it's not what's right to do right now. But just like we talked about before the break, I think only you know what's best for your business. And while it's hard to say no to things sometimes, and it can drive me nuts to think that people think I can be difficult to work with because I don't say yes to things all the time, I really, at the end of the day, sleep really well at night knowing that I'm doing things the way that's best for me and that are true to the mission that I set out with. And when I move away from those things and move past back to the paths that I think are, you know, people are taking more frequently, it doesn't feel right, and I feel a little uneasy, and I would much rather fail doing things exactly the way that I felt true than doing things the way that I think I thought I was expected to do. So I think when in doubt, and if you feel like you're wavering, never be afraid to pave your own path. That can sometimes be the path that everybody else ends up following, so don't be afraid to go your own way. Number 9 is a big one. This is something that, for most of you who've been reading Design Sponge, I think you may have seen that my personal life has changed pretty dramatically over the last few years, and that's really related to this lesson, which is make time for life. My personal life is in a very different place than it was a few years ago, and while I'm happy now, I went through two of the hardest years of my life recently and learned a lot about the way I operate my business and participate in my own life. For starters, the biggest lesson I've learned here is that your life can't be put on a back burner. Relationships and friendships, children, family, none of these things can play a second place on your priority list forever without suffering. I ignored my own personal happiness for years in favor of my businesses, which I think is a really common thing for people running their own businesses. And eventually, all those other people's demands and hopes kind of ran my life, and all that came back to haunt me. And I now see friends around me making the same mistake every day, and it becomes really difficult not to run around and shake people and say, stop, you need to make time for your personal life, and you need to be happy. But people make their own choices, and I hope that those of you listening can choose to prioritize your life as much as your work, or at least work towards that process. My own personal journey has really led me to operate my business completely differently than I have for the last 7 years of running the site. Work is no longer the end-all, be-all for me. I've really learned to let some things go, to say no, to stop working on the weekends and staying up until midnight. All of those things can be difficult to avoid and sometimes impossible in the early stages of your business and in certain work pushes. But they really do add up over time, and they take a toll on your life, your work life, and your health if you don't go back down to a normal, sustainable work level. You really do end up paying a price. And I think the most dangerous thing here to think about is that if you teach yourself and everyone around you to operate at a sort of a consistent crisis level, then you really only learn how to work harder and more. The goal should really be to maintain a level of work and life that allows you to have time for both to thrive. And it's obviously not a perfect equation where there's going to be some state of nirvana where each are in completely perfect balance all the time. But if you really let life take over, or let either side take over, if you let work become 99.9% of your day, you're going to look back and realize that you haven't valued your personal life. And that really can make your business suffer, and it's obviously going to make your personal life suffer. So the biggest lesson I have learned, especially recently, is to really make time for life. My very last lesson, this is lesson number 10, and it's something that sort of was the reason I had the work epiphany last week, was to embrace change. I really think that as a business owner, all you can do is to do your best, to be as honest as you can about who you are and what you love right now. The most important thing is to put forward the best representation of you, who you are, what you care about at the moment, and that's all you can be expected to do. I think readers or business supporters, people who buy the things that you make, they can really be expected, they can expect you to be honest, but I don't think they can ever expect you to never change. And if you've been running a business for a long time, this is something that people run into. You build up a certain image or a certain look to your brand, And at a certain point, you might outgrow that. It can be terrifying to think about how do you expand that? How do you change that? How do you sort of gradually introduce your readers to things that are new or different? And I think the most important thing to do is just to realize that your readers and your buyers and your supporters are human beings too. They're going to change and they're going to grow, especially as they get older and their priorities change. So to really ease them into that process with the understanding that you're all going through that is incredibly important. One thing I found that's really helpful for this is to recognize your achievements, how far you've come and what you've done and created, and especially what you've contributed to your community through those different stages of your life. A lot of times it's easy to look back and think that you were kind of the exact same person for a large chunk of time and be scared to change that. But if you look back at what you've done, you'll probably realize that you and your business have changed and grown over the years more than you'd thought. An interesting example of this is I was recently in the Hudson Valley and didn't actually know sort of towns to go to or what shops were open. And I was Googling around and stumbled upon the Design Sponge Hudson Valley Guide, which, if I'm being totally honest, I don't read every city guide that goes up on our site because I don't go to all those cities on a regular basis. I wish I did, but it's just not in my budget to travel constantly. So when I pulled that guide up, I went through it, and it was a wonderful guide. It was written by Raina Cattleson, who lives in the Hudson Valley, and it sort of made me pause for a moment and think about, wow, there are like hundreds of guides on the site, and they're great guides, and they're wonderful celebrations of small towns and the people that live and work in them. And I really had never taken a moment to think about that's a great resource that we've sort of created and never really took the time to sort of smile and be happy about this thing that we all built together. And looking back and really taking those moments to appreciate and celebrate the hard work you've done and what it's contributed to your community, those are really important. And just trust that as you move forward and as you change and as you grow, you're going to create new possibilities exactly like that. So embrace the ones that have come before and really accept that really good ones are going to come after. So the last two things I want to end with are my five biggest mistakes, and there are probably 500 of them, not five, and then my five biggest achievements. The five biggest mistakes, let's start with those first. That's much better to end on a high note. Number one is giving into pressure. I think as someone who, you know, grew up with a tough middle school and high school year like everybody else, you're used to giving into the things people around you want. And my weakest moments are always about giving into what somebody else has wanted me to do or what somebody else thinks I should do. And that's something I'm always struggling with. So I think the first biggest thing I've sort of always screwed up on is listening to other people before my own gut. Number two is losing my cool. As many of you know, if you run a blog, it is really difficult to not snap at people sometimes, especially when comments are negative or feedback is less than constructive. And the moments where I kind of snap and give into that or sort of stoke a fire or get into a fight online, those are the moments where I look back and think, you should have just kept your mouth shut. So moments like that where I lose my cool, not my favorite. Number three is letting people walk over me. It's really hard to be a boss and balance that sort of tenuous relationship between friend and someone who works for you. And I always tend to lean on the side of I don't want to make people unhappy, I want to stay friends with people, and so sometimes that can happen. But I think the longer you run the business, the more you'll understand and navigate that line, but that's something I struggle with. My other biggest mistake is losing myself in work and kind of forgetting that I have a life outside of Design Sponge. I'm working on that now, but it's a really difficult thing. And I think if you run a business, you probably identify with that feeling a lot. And the fifth biggest mistake, I think, is not always doing the hard thing first. I have a habit of embracing the terrible art of really putting things off and being a procrastinator. And the more that I've had those moments where I say, you know what, I could put this email off and not say no now, or I don't want to take the time to explain it in a way that I think will be easiest for the person reading, those are the moments I really regret. And I really regret I just took a second to sit down, say no to something, or explain something difficult rather than drag it out. Dragging something out always hurts more than just being clear at the first. So if you've got a business issue that can kind of be solved quickly and you should just say no or explain it up front, do that first. Now, to end on a happy note, the five things that I'm proudest of with my business. I'm really proud that we've built a site that supports people in a tough economy. I think the fact that we're a small team at Design Sponge is not a problem. I think it's great that it's small. But I think it's also good that there are an incredible amount of people who work with us, whether freelance or full-time, that have a job they can rely on when that's not always something that's a given in this economy. I'm also really proud that something that we've always really cared about at the site is supporting women and small business owners. The BizLady series is something that's really helped people launch businesses, and I know it's something I've actually used myself, and I go back and read those articles, and I'm really proud that we sort of dedicate ourselves to that goal of helping people over making money. The next thing is I'm really proud about the next generation of designers we're supporting through the scholarship. It's something that we do every year, and it takes a lot of work to go through applications and set it up, but it's so worth it because to really get to interact with the people who are going to be inspiring us for years to come is completely invaluable. The next thing I'm proudest of is really learning to turn my life around. It's been really difficult to shape the way that I run my business and make more time for life and not completely grow every moment of my life into Design Sponge, but it's been a really valuable learning experience to stop, change the way I work, and hopefully influence the people I work with to not work the crazy hours we've been working for years before. And the last thing is to really learn to accept mistakes, to accept imperfection, and to learn to love growing. These are all the things that become really big challenges when you run businesses for longer amounts of time. And I really hope that all of you who are listening can really learn to love all of the ways that you and your business will grow to change and make mistakes and learn from them over the years. Because really accepting yourself the way that you are and the businesses that you're running and the way those are changing, it's really going to make your customers, your readers, and the people that support you relate to you and really grab on a little bit tighter, because those learning experiences, those changes, and those mistakes are things that everybody goes through. So the more honest that you are and the more real you are with your business and the way you express yourself, you're really going to be strengthening that connection with your audience in a bigger and more important way every day. So I hope those of you listening can learn, and I hope you'll be able to share some of your biggest life experiences and work and outside of work, maybe the things that you made mistakes about but you've learned from. I hope you'll share them in the comment sections and online. And thanks so much to everybody for listening. I'll be back next week with designer Tom Felicia.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.